20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, everybody? Happy Monday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am filled with joy to be joined by Perry Goldstein and, of course, the one and only Wisco Grant. Grant, Perry, it is wonderful to be chatting with you. How the heck are you guys doing?
Great. We had real football news, so that made me happy. I had a NFL Network on while I was working from home, like in the background, and I was, you know, just like doing my thing. TV's on, and, like, all these news is coming in. I was like, this is the best. I miss this. It's like been a really sad month of like very low NFL engagement. So I'm happy to be back. And now we're just like full swing until the season starts. I mean, like, there's going to be very few lulls. That makes me happy.
Totally agree. I'm doing very good. That's the difference between Perry and I. Perry was like, finally some real news. Whereas a month ago, I just took the smallest little rumor and then like treated that as real life. And that's how I operate. That's how I operate. It's like, oh, DK Metcalf might get traded. Yeah, he's in my mind. He is a Packer now. And I'm going to create that world and live in it for a couple of days until that comes crashing down.
The difference between when you're full-time sports and when you're hobby sports.
you only have to focus on the real stuff, which I envy, but also sometimes it's fun to just live in fantasy land, which I do every time any player is connected to the Packers or could be or should be or maybe isn't even connected to the Packers.
To be fair, I think a lot of people live in Grantland, if you will. And then I also think that some people don't ever get out of that land, so that like we're like a week before free agency and I would be getting questions. I don't say anything wrong with this, but like getting questions of like, do you think the Packers can get, and it would be like DK, Khalil Mack, DJ Reed. And like, it would be like a list of like five of the, like the top free agents. And I'm like, if they get any one of those, it's going to be a big deal. Like any one of these is probably unlikely and, but possible, but I'm like, you're starting to string together three, four, five of these guys. And I'm like, we are well off in fantasy land at this point. I'm like, let's just take this one step at a time. Let's get a free agent in the door first. And then we can kind of go from there. And then of course we get through the week and like that first day hits, like it's not even right. It was the day before because the day before DK and Adams both are gone on the day before free agency. And holy hell, did everything immediately like melt down of like, what is Goody doing? It's at the end of the world. And then you got like midway through the first day, like Milton Williams is coming off the board and like some of these guys are off the board and it's like, and Goody hadn't done anything yet. And once again, it was like, oh my God. And then of course he signed two huge free agents financially, $120 million worth. And they were one of the top spending teams in free agency so far. And it was still like, why is it Goody doing anything? So it's been a roller coaster. And I think sort of separating that initial fantasy of like, oh my God, all of these could be Packers to, all right, it's Aaron Banks and Nate Hobbs. I think there's definitely been a gap between those two things.
It's a little reminiscent of 2019 too. And I guess I'll just speak from my perspective. Like, I didn't know much about Preston or Za'Darius Smith before that happened. Right. So like this big money is being thrown around. These players are here and I don't necessarily know who they are intimately. And I think a lot of Packers fans had that experience with Oates and with Banks. But just because you didn't know their names, that doesn't mean they're nobodies. And I've heard a lot of Packers fans, to your point, Andy, it's like, well, the Packers, they never spend. They never anything. Yeah, they do spend just about every time they have money. It might just not always be on the guy that you were hoping they would. And maybe you've never heard of the guy, but that's not their problem, right? That's a me problem. Now I got to learn who these guys are.
Did you say Oates, by the way? Did you throw an Oates out there?
Andy, I swear, at work, I have a post-it note on the bottom of my PC. I can't remember these guys' names. It's Hobbs, right?
It is Hobbs. And you're totally good. And the only reason I bring that up is because it was so apropos. I'm not throwing you under a bus here. It was so apropos of like, we might not even know these guys' names. And then, but like, your point, I've called them all like Ellis Hobbs almost a couple different times. Like I've wanted to call Aaron Banks, Adam Banks, the old Mighty Duck character. Of course, I know everyone has been calling him Aaron Brooks as well. The former Packers quarterback. So like it has, and I think it's just because it's like Nate Hobbs, Aaron Banks, like it's not exactly rolling off the tongue perfectly. And that's the most Packers offseason ever is names that just aren't rolling off the tongue the way that you would like them to. So Perry, how are you obviously feeling after a whirlwind week of free agency, not just with the Packers, but obviously league-wide?
League-wide. I love free agency. I love it. The draft is not necessarily my thing. I don't watch a ton of college football. So when it comes to it, like, I love it. And I think it's fun for a lot of different reasons. And I love studying who the Packers get after the fact. But in terms of like this preseason bit, free agency is my favorite of where, you know, teams get to make their choices. I love like the reshuffle of things and imagining a player on a new team and what they're going to do. And then everyone starts talking about, oh, well, now they're a contender because they have so-and-so. And then you're like, it's way too early to say that, you know, like all of a sudden everyone's talking about the Steelers. Well, if they could just get a quarterback, like look at all their weapons. And it's like the Steelers have been 500 for like, I don't know, 8 seasons now. Is DK Metcalf really going to do that? And so I think it's super fun, especially after the month. I loved the quarterback carousel of this week and all the questions we still have, because we have Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers like still making their little decisions. It's fun watching some of the big dominoes fall that first week. We'll get to it when we get to our main topic. I definitely have some thoughts around the value that was placed on certain players this time around. And I know salary cap went up, so that means you can pay players more, but does that mean you should? That's kind of what I was thinking all week, is like, do you really need to? So I saw some big money getting thrown around that I don't know. I don't know if teams are going to regret it. I don't know if certain players necessarily needed it. In terms of Packers land, I think it was very funny that their first move was an interior offensive lineman. Just felt very Packers to, like, everyone's waiting for like an edge rusher. Like, it's Davante Adams coming back, and it's like some interior offensive lineman that like nobody knows. Just made me laugh very hard. Instead of getting mad about it, like some Packers fans do, I just had to laugh because I just love that they do what they're going to do and they don't care. But the more I heard about that one, I love it. And I love the protection for Jordan Love, because that's just, I mean, that's 1A, most important thing to do going into the season. So I like what they did. I like what they didn't do. Those are my kind of overarching thoughts.
We'll put a pin in all of that, because I think we're going to get a lot of those different points as we get to our best and worst of the Packers offseason so far. Just really quick, my least favorite part of this and the thing that I'm struggling with now and what I am just kind of like mad about, this was the quickest free agency ever. And like, you get those dopamine hits on day one of like, oh, he signed here. Okay. Ooh, look at that. And then like, ooh, Milton Williams is a Panther. Oh, now he's a Patriot. Ooh, this is fun. And then like by the time, and then like Tuesday morning rolled around and the Vikings signed like Jonathan Allen and Javon Hargrave and Will Fries or Freeze or whatever it ends up being. Like, I don't even care. Like they get like 3 big free agents in the morning, and then like, it was done. It was just done. Like, there's obviously been a couple things here and there. Maybe Trey Hendrickson still gets traded. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe Jair gets traded. Maybe he doesn't. We'll talk about that in a second. Aaron Rodgers is probably going to sign somewhere at some point. I don't know. Like, there's still going to be some things, but to go from a day on like that Monday, and usually it kind of before it felt like it was like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then like Thursday would start to trickle and Friday would be dead. And then like more recently, it was like Monday and Tuesday are thing. And Wednesday. Now it's just like, by Tuesday morning at like 9 a.m., free agency was just, well, we're done. We're closed. We'll see you guys next year. And now I'm missing my dopamine hits. And thankfully, March Madness is here now, so I'm going to get some of those. But I definitely miss those already on like midday Tuesday. I'm like, where's my free agent signings? I need more. Not just for the Packers, just in general.
I do remember it going longer than it used to. And yes, now I feel like a lot happens in the legal tampering window. And yes. Also probably in the illegal tampering window, you know, and so we just get the news like when they're allowed to make it public, which is like why it all happened so fast. And yeah, and you know, it's not actually like a full week at all.
No, not even. And now again, there's obviously still some players out there, but it's for all intents and purposes, it's done, it's dead, it's over. Grant, were you gonna add on before of just like final thoughts about the first week?
Big picture, I guess I'm enjoying the Aaron Rodgers thing personally. It's funny, like Schefter gets all mad because we're waiting on Rodgers. It's like, man, it's Tuesday or it's Wednesday. And then I think he was on ESPN Milwaukee and he's talking to Mark Chmur. He's like, Chewy, you decide what you're going to have for lunch today. You just decide. You don't wait. It's like, that's not the same thing, Adam. Like, what do you, I don't know. And it's funny because you mentioned baseball came, or not baseball, but you were talking about players like coming off the market so quick. I thought of baseball. It's like they're, especially with Scott Boras clients, like opening day's a week away and he's got like two guys who are trying to get $300 million contracts. He's like, wait, hold the line. And the season starts in a week. So like football is very different from other sports in that world, but I am enjoying the Rodgers thing. I will be the one media person who will just be very transparent about it. Like he's great for content, especially now that like us Packers people, we can talk about him when we want. Like we don't have to follow everything he does when he's in the news and when it's interesting and when it's good content, we can use it for content. Otherwise we can ignore it. So I'm enjoying Aaron Rodgers. I think he's got some great choices. Pittsburgh would be great. Minnesota would obviously be perfect. I just don't think they're interested, regardless of how hard Rossini and Silver and everyone's trying to like, will that to happen?
Well, on Rodgers' behalf. Tweet. He's like, well, or it was Albright and there was one other one.
Let
too.
Me be clear. Yeah. They're not interested.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, there was one other one. But basically it was like the ones that are reporting on the Rodgers side of things are the ones that are basically saying like, ooh, Minnesota might be interested. They should be interested. Look at Minnesota's decision makers are getting together and huddling as to whether or not they should go after Aaron Rodgers. And the people that are reporting on the Vikings side are like, there's nothing here. There's not even remotely anything here. So that was, I think, the interesting juxtaposition there.
They love JJ McCarthy. If I were them, I'd want another body, but Aaron Rodgers being that other body is really complicated. But if Rodgers goes to Pittsburgh, I mean, considering a month or two ago, we thought maybe like Tennessee, Vegas, like that's a good option where he can go play meaningful competitive football. They're not going to win a Super Bowl.
I agree. I personally would, there's two reasons why I would love Pittsburgh. One is I would just love to see him like all those personalities, like mm-hmm. in that one place would just be so like entertaining. Like the yeah. league needs that entertainment. And two, like him and Mike Tomlin love each other. Like they have always had so much respect for one another and to be like on the serious end of this. And I think if there's a coach in the league right now who can actually like handle that and that Rodgers would walk into and like have like real genuine respect for and work with, it would be Tomlin. I actually think there's if he went to the Giants, it would be a very similar situation to the Jets. Like he would just steamroll the whole operation. Whereas with the Steelers, it might, to your point, Grant, like actually like there could be some semblance of a winning formula there.
Yeah, he could play meaningful. Like it would suck if he was a Giant because the team would stink, but everyone would still talk about it. So we'd have to endure Rodgers talk, but it wouldn't be meaningful. You know what I mean? On all of the talk shows and all the podcasts and stuff. And then probably Brian Daboll and the general manager get fired, and that's not Rodgers' fault, but people would hold that against Rodgers, you know, same with the Jets. So I think Pittsburgh would be great. I hope it happens. I understand why he really wants Minnesota, but that's just not in the cards. Apparently they don't want him. One more thought on big picture free agency. We had Mike Sando on our network on Friday afternoon, and Mike's great. And our host basically asked Mike like, hey, so the Bears, they did all this stuff. Like, man, you really got to take the Bears seriously. Right. And Sando basically said, you know, like these things don't really move the needle for people in the league the way that it moves the needle for fans. And I'm like, okay, yeah. Like he just met not just the Bears specifically, but he's like, look, all these names and these monies, they get thrown around. And let me tell you, like fans chase this stuff around and we go nuts for it. But in the league, like most of these people remain pretty unmoved and the good teams are going to be good and the bad teams are going to, continue to struggle. I'm like, huh, really good perspective, you know, when we're pulling our hair out over these signings or signings that aren't made. So I just thought that was insightful too.
Especially in a free agency class like this, where like a lot of the top, again, even like the top two guys, Trey Smith and T. Higgins, go off the market immediately. So many of the guys resign with their own teams, the Khalil Max, the Osa Digizuas, so many, again, just remain Zach Bond, et cetera, were staying with their own teams. There just wasn't a ton out there. And then Perry, just to go back to your thought, it was like, you know, whether teams should spend the money or should they say, like, that's where the whole thing with Green Bay was such an interesting thing. And we talked about it so much ahead of time is they have the money. They need to go out and probably upgrade this roster in some real way, but it's also a really bad free agency class and everyone's going to be spending all their stupid money to like overpaying a lot of these guys. So where does Green Bay come in that, in just in that entire equation where they're not usually the team that's going to overpay a ton. And there is going to be a bunch of stupid money thrown around for not super great players. Like, how do they navigate that? And we saw they signed a guard in a slot corner that might be playing outside corner to those are significant deals, but they decided that was the realm that they wanted to live in. I don't necessarily blame them for it, but that I think was the interesting thing. Really just going back, I don't want to make a thing out of this any more than it is, but if you're Rodgers, how have you not sprinted to the Steelers offer and just said, like, your choices are the Giants, and I get he's in New York, right? But like the Giants, the Steelers, and like, that's probably it. Like, how have you not sprinted? Like, if you would have told all the potential teams that needed a quarterback this offseason, if you would have said that the Steelers were interested in Rodgers, I would have been like, that's done. It's over. There's not even a conversation to be had here. This makes so much sense.
And they added Metcalf. You know what I mean? Like, yes. Before they added DK Metcalf, we're like, yeah, Pittsburgh would probably be the best case scenario. And then they added DK, you know?
I think he's probably contemplating retiring. I think that's, maybe. I don't know if it's like Steelers, Giants, or, you know, like another team. I think he's probably like, I'm sure when he comes out with his decision, it's going to be like, I was thinking, where's my body at? And can I do this again?
Maybe Tomlin has 18 consecutive non-losing seasons. Like, Tomlin isn't in and of himself is like, we're going to be at least 500. Like, you walk into a 500 season or better with Mike Tomlin as coach, basically. And that's also why I kind of love this, is like, if they don't go 500, like, oh my God, can you even imagine? But if you're Rodgers, like, you basically roll into that, and they just got Metcalf. They're not messing around. Like, they still have TJ Watt on defense. Like, this is your playoff. You should, by all accounts, be a playoff team. And he did certainly, Rodgers did definitely play better down the stretch when you could, like, with the Achilles stuff, like, it seemed like, hey, at some point in time, maybe it started to click a little bit more or whatever, but, or just kind of get back to a normalcy. But I'm stunned that he just didn't sprint and sign that thing as much as he can sprint on his former Achilles. I'm just kidding.
We'll find out soon, I guess.
I guess.
So. I don't think it's going to be, I thought it would be done by this weekend. So watch, it'll take place between the few hours before this podcast gets published. But I don't think that this is going to be dragged out for a month like some people do. Cause why would he have reason to do that? Like, his option is great. That's an excellent option. I think him and then some insiders, Mike Silver and Rossini specifically, are like publicly are doing like, Vikings, are you sure? Are you sure? Like, Rodgers could, like, you sure you're good with McCarthy? And they're like, yeah, we're good
with
McCarthy. We're so good. Go take Pittsburgh. It's a better spot with more talent than I thought would be available to him. So I'd like to see it.
Really quick before we get into our best and worst of the offseason so far, Jaire Alexander, as of recording this at 8:23 p.m. Central Time, 9:23 p.m. for Perry Goldstein on the East Coast. Jaire Alexander is still a Green Bay Packer. Thoughts on this sort of saga, and are we expecting a resolution at some point soon, or is this just going to remain until some team gives Green Bay what they want?
I'm surprised. I didn't think he necessarily would have like that much of a trade market, but also you never know with top tier corner. I heard he welcomed Nate Hobbs to the team. So that's an interesting tidbit. I don't know if that really means much to anybody, just, you know, he could just be a good dude. But I did find that interesting. I don't know, Andy, you're the cap guy. So you tell us, you know, are they waiting for some like post June 1 situation? Nope. Or it doesn't matter money wise? Okay.
No, really, I mean, they do save more post June 1, but they don't need it for anything at all. Like, not even remotely. The only thing here is that's sort of like on a need to know from like a cap standpoint is that a lot of times when these trades happen, there usually is some sort of bonus that gets set to pay out. So you want to get it done before that bonus pays out, or that get them released before that bonus pays out. There's nothing there for Jaire. So Green Bay can literally take this. They can take it to the draft and say like, oh, some team is like, there's no corners left in free agency. And now some teams are going to be hoping, well, we'll just get somebody in the draft. And then maybe you get to day three of the draft, excuse me. And some team didn't get a corner in free agency, didn't get anyone on the first 2 days of the draft. And now it's day three and they're looking at their draft board and like, oh my God, there's not even a corner we like left. They're like, the highest corner on our board's a seventh round value, for, you know, whatever. And they say, here's a fourth for Jaire. So they could take it into that. They could also take it all the way through training camp and say, you know, we're not going to have you here. We're just going to keep you on the side until we get whatever offer that we want. We have a feeling that some point at some time, some corner is going to go down for some competing team with an ACL or an Achilles injury, whatever it might be. And they're going to be in desperate need of a starting caliber corner. And guess what? We just so happen to have Jaire Alexander. We'll take a future fourth round pick at that point in time. So they are, I think, again, maybe this is done by the time people listen to this and maybe he's been released or traded for whatever, but if they want, they can play as long of a game as they want here to hope that some team gets desperate via either the the draft or, you know, at the end of camp when somebody gets hurt or cut down time, whatever, and bring it as long as they want. I don't think they will, but they can.
That's interesting. I mean, if there's no reason, there's no negative reason, money-wise or otherwise, to keep him on the roster and keep him as leverage, as capital, as whatever, then sure. I mean, why not? You want as many assets as possible. I hate talking about human beings this way. But I do wonder, like, at what point do you just like want to have like your, at what point does this become like bad juju, like bad aura? And you want to kind of nail sure down.
Just went to Kansas City.
Thank you for that. But like, you know what I mean? And I don't know. I mean, is there a world where the longer this drags out, the likelihood that he actually resolves this with the team comes about and he actually stays put? Like, is that on the table now? I feel like the longer this goes, all the options open up.
Just really quick, I talked to Rob Domofsky this week on the Packaday radio show, and he's been obviously kind of on top of this. And just the thing that he mentioned on the show was that Jaire and his agent, and obviously just paraphrasing Rob here, but Jaire and his agents are surprised that Jaire has not been traded or released as of yet. Like they were expecting it. They were thinking that he was going to be gone by this point. And they've been surprised that nothing's happened yet. So that was the big kind of news from Rob when I talked to him earlier last week. So whatever that means moving forward, it'll be interesting. But while he's on the roster, there's always that open possibility that he could remain. And while I still don't think it's the case, stranger things have certainly happened. That's for sure. Go ahead, Grant.
Well, I don't have much to say other than this. Like I just compare the situation of what's going on with Davante Adams and what's going on with Cooper Kupp, right? Players who are making a lot of money, who their teams would like to trade, but nobody wants to acquire them because of the contract. They're just going to wait for him to be cut. Is it the only reason that they're operating at a higher clip and the Packers are holding on to the guys because Jaire is that much younger and they view him as an asset that still has that much more value? Like, is that the line of demarcation? Because I feel like there are other comparable situations and those teams have handled those situations quite differently than the Packers have so far.
Yeah, I think there probably comes a point where the Rams chopped up all around and just realized they weren't getting anything. Devontae's contract was a complete non-starter for a trade. So, and then at that point, Devontae basically can veto anything because if like the Browns, not that the Browns have the money for, but if any team that he doesn't want to go to says, oh, well, yeah, we'll trade for Devontae. Devontae said, that's fine, but you're keeping me on this insane contract that is completely unattainable for where he's at. And it was like 30 some million dollars for the upcoming year. So you said, fine, that's fine. I'm not renegotiating anything. So he basically has a no trade clause for that. So it's just way easier to release him at that point. I think with Jaire, part of what you're saying is age. And I think there's a possibility that Green Bay has a legitimate offer on the table, that some team is saying like, we'll give you a conditional seventh or a sixth or something. And Green Bay says, we know we have this in hand already. We're holding this. Or like even that, like, is not that worth it. We would rather wait until something happens to get a fifth or a fourth. And listen, Goody plays long ball with that stuff. I mean, the Rodgers stuff, like the Jets and Rodgers wanted that done immediately. And he's like, no, we'll just hang out here. You guys go figure out your quarterback situation. And we'll be here when you want to talk. And so the Jets were in no man's land. They needed Rodgers. Rodgers wanted to be there. It was they already basically everyone announced, yeah, he's going to be a Jet. You're just like, oh, okay. Yeah, you're just going to have to keep upping that cost in that case. And like, they're very sad. Like they got a first and a second for Devontae when they traded Devontae. Like Goody's good at this stuff. So he might just be waiting and like, oh, you're offering us a sixth. Awesome. Call us when it's a fourth and we'll just be here. Cause we know we're going to get it eventually. I don't know. It'll be interesting.
I guess it's just a lot of squeezing. And I don't know that a future fourth at the end of this road is going to be worth the juice. I guess that's all.
Maybe, maybe not. But like, we have no patience. None of us have any patience. Like, again, it was the day before free agency and Goody didn't sign Metcalf or Devontae and everyone's freaking out. Like, Goody's looking at 2029 by now. Like, you know, he's like so far in the future with stuff that like waiting a couple extra months so that he can get a fourth instead of a sixth is not even, he's not even losing sleep over it at this point. So I don't know, maybe it amounts to nothing. Maybe he ends up getting cut anyway, but I don't hate the fact that he's trying to squeeze every ounce of juice out of that orange when there's really no downside to any of it. Like they can release him, trade him, cut it at any time. And it doesn't matter if it's today and there's no urgency to do so on Green Bay side. The only thing it's kind of doing is screwing over Jair. If you do release him, a lot of the salary cap space is already gone, or that teams that may have been interested in Jair have already got other corners. So that's the only side of this that you could look at it. Like, well, if you end up cutting him, you're kind of screwing him over. But if they already have like a trade in hand and now they're just trying to get more, I don't know, you can wait it out if you want, I guess. I don't know. All right, that's enough about Jair. Let's get to our best and worst of the offseason so far. So I know I've got a list of best things. I got a list of worst things. So we can go in any direction. It doesn't have to be back and forth. Doesn't have to be a best and a worst or anything like that. Just whatever direction that you want to go in. So does anyone have a preference of who goes first?
Perry, you can go first.
All right, Perry's nominated.
Thank you. Wow. Okay. I feel like I alluded to this earlier. So this is what I'm going to start with. And when Andy, when you sent this to us, it was the first thing I thought of. And it's probably because free agency is just happened, so it's a little bit of recency bias, but I love that the Packers didn't spend needlessly and they didn't overspend on anybody. At least I don't view either of their signings as overspending. I think we can talk a lot about a number of players that maybe they need, right? One of the wide receivers or an edge rusher or whatever it is. But I looked at some of those contracts or some of the money, some of the draft picks that were sent. And I thought I'm so glad the Packers didn't do that. And I think we talk a lot about like some of the best moves or moves you don't make. And I know fans who want that big signing, like don't love hearing that, but I really feel like that was this free agency for the Packers. You look at both contracts and sure, you might think that it was too big of a contract for Aaron Banks. That's what you have to do. You know, when you don't hit on some players in your draft classes, you a little bit have to quote unquote overspend later on in free agency to fill a hole. Fine. I'm okay with spending a little bit more on a offensive lineman who's going to protect Jordan Love. I think the Hobbs deal is really not as big as it looked when it first came out. It's really actually only 2 years of real money. The back 2 years, which is also super rust ball, are kind of fake. So I just really like what they did. Even though they have money, they didn't, you know, go out and say, oh, we can spend, so let's go spend. They were very smart about what they did, and it leaves them now with room to do things like pick up a street free agent that might be really impactful later on. You know, potentially make a trade if something becomes available and they need to restructure a deal for said player. So I'm really happy with the fact that they didn't overspend and they didn't do as much. Because I saw some of these deals happening and I was like, no, I'm okay with that not going down.
Grant, how do you feel about that? I'm curious your thoughts, because I know you've been maybe wanting a little bit more from this free agency class for Green Bay. I don't want to put words in your mouth.
So spiritually, I agree with what Perry is saying. Like, and this is a problem with having cap space, and this comes to bite you in the NBA a lot. It's like, we got all this cap space for players. And then like you struggle to spend it on players that are actually worth the space. So I agree that having a lot of money in this free agency cycle could be problematic if you can't get the very best player, because you're probably going to be stuck overpaying, you know, certain guys. And you guys talked about that earlier in the podcast. Where I don't know that I disagree with Perry, but what I'll add to what Perry's saying is, like, you're saying that you're glad that they didn't pay other people and do some of the deals that were out there because they were too big and they were too much. I think a lot of people feel that way about what the lineman,
Banks.
Nate, Banks. Of course, like I have a lot of people that I see on Twitter saying, yeah, it's a lot of money, but that's the going rate. That's what a guard costs. So I think on a smaller scale, the Packers probably did overspend. And you could argue that every free agency ad is an overspend because that's how free agency is. But I guess on some level, I agree with what Perry is saying. I just think the Packers did overspend in their own way and in a lesser way, but I still think they overspent, especially on the linemen.
Interesting. Here's what I'll say. I had on my list is I'm happy Green Bay never feels the pressure to do something for the sake of doing it. And what I mean by that, like, listen, we all wanted another a top flight wide receiver. We also were realistic about it going in of like it's Adams and DK. And if you don't get one of those, it's going to be really difficult to sort of do it just because there's not a clear and obvious player that's available. Defensive end. We were maybe hoping that a Myles Garrett trade was going to come. Nope. Well, he stayed. And then Max Crosby stayed and Khalil Mack stayed. And like so many of these guys ended up staying, you know, maybe a Josh Sweat would have been available, but it's possible too that like, given the same contract, he would have rather played with his old defensive coordinator, who's now head coach in Arizona, in Jonathan Gannon, and that just Arizona is a little bit nicer than Green Bay, Wisconsin from time to time. So, like, I don't know that, like, how much of that stuff plays a factor, but it's definitely a two-way street, and it's a possibility as well. And I don't even know if I want to call it a spin on this is, but what my spin on this is I would have been very upset if they're like, well, we're going to go out and get, and it sounds like maybe they were interested, but like Cooper Kupp at 15 mil a year at this stage of his career. And I think that would have been a massive overspend for Cooper Kupp at this stage of his career. Like even the Dante Fowler conversation, and I know he went for 1 year's eight. Like if Green Bay would have signed Dante Fowler to 1 year, 8 million, it would have been fine. He would have been a rotational piece on this defensive line. Dante Fowler doesn't solve your problems to any real level or extent. It's another rotational player on this defensive front. I think if you weaponize them in the right way, you could have probably found a way to make it work and probably get your ROI on 8 million or whatever, but it wouldn't have moved the needle from, I don't think Green Bay's win totals change one iota by going from what they have right now to Dante Fowler. So I think the fact that I'm sure they would have loved to do more at wide receiver, but the market wasn't super just available at that spot. Defensive end, I think so too. And again, you end up in these situations where a lot of the guys got re-signed or not traded or whatever, and maybe they still do something for Hendrickson. I wouldn't think so, but you never quite know. I just think that they sort of pivoted to what was available to them, and they went out and got a top offensive lineman, and what certainly they felt was a top offensive lineman, and a really good corner in the back end of their defense. Obviously, it can play slot outside, and I think they sort of straddled that we don't want to overspend and live in a world that we're going to, you know, just overspend in a way that's going to really negatively affect us moving forward. But we also want to add to this team and make it better because it's time to win right now. And I think they hopefully found a sweet spot. I can understand why it, again, maybe feels a little bit underwhelming, but my biggest takeaway but one of the things that was definitely on my best so far is that they just didn't add something for the sake of doing it. And they are going to continue to look at how they can add to it moving forward. But sometimes the idea of like activity is good. It doesn't always work that way. Sometimes activity is bad.
That's what I mean by like, they didn't spend needlessly.
Yeah.
Like they spend where they found value in this free agency. And I think like I think the Packers do a good job of blocking out the noise of what everyone else is spending on and what everyone else is paying for certain players and saying like, we're going to do this in the way that we see fit. And like, yeah, you can definitely look at Aaron Banks and be like, that's a lot of money. You can call it course correction for some bad draft classes. You can call it an inflation rate on just like at some point, you just got to pay a player what the rate is. You can call it, they think he's worth that much. Probably a combination of the three. But I'm, to your point, Andy, just like glad that it didn't feel like they were just like making moves to make moves because they felt like they had to fill a bunch of holes. And we'll get to one of my worst, which is like, I still feel like there are holes. So yeah. Where do I feel like this team is in terms of like, do I think their win percentage is higher or not going into the season yet? I don't know. But I appreciate when the Packers aren't just like, we have money, let's go. And they're smart about what they do.
I guarantee you that Aaron Banks was not, Green Bay wasn't competing against themselves at that price. there was a reason that that price went that high. I would be very much willing to bet that. And if he wasn't, by the way, we would be getting, I guarantee we'd be getting reports out there of like, I've talked to numerous sources in league circles and teams cannot believe that Green Bay signed Aaron Banks to a 4-year 77. That hasn't been anything like that. So I have a feeling that there was a significant market for him and Green Bay maybe went that little extra to go get a guy that they really liked.
And I think the market agreed with a lot of the moves the Packers made, like namely a lot of the guys they let walk, right? Like look at the contract that Josh Myers got and, right. And I was just going to say Eric Stokes or like, you know, so I think it all goes into this bucket of like, they made the right decisions to A, let some people go, and not give them that next contract, which we were questioning whether they would or not Stokes, I think, but Myers was certainly a question and they made the right decision not to do that, versus who are we going to go out and add?
Totally fair. I totally agree. Grant, you're up next. A best or worst of the Packers offseason so far?
I will go with the worst.
Okay.
And this Perry is a great example of a worst that someone who has to do this for multiple hours every single, this is only something that anyways, I'm going to go all the way back to the beginning of the offseason in the second week of January, whenever it was that Goody and LaFleur did their end of season pressers. And there was something that LaFleur said that maybe was a total throwaway comment by him. He maybe meant nothing by it. He probably did mean nothing by it, but it sticks in my brain. And I've been thinking about it and using it as a lens through which to view everything that's happened this offseason. So Matt LaFleur at his end of the season presser was asked, and I don't know if it was Wildy. I think maybe it was Wildy. I'm pretty sure it wasn't you, Andy, because I've gone back and listened, but maybe it was Wildy. Basically asked LaFleur, like, do you think you guys are close? You know what I mean? You were close against the Lions in the fight. Like, do you guys feel like you're close to that upper team? And LaFleur said, you don't feel it in the moment, but then said, yeah, I think we are close. And he made this comment where he said something along the lines of, we won 11 games this year. And I know that was good enough for third in our division, but that's kind of, you know, just kind of a crazy weird year. And that comment, it might've just been a throwaway comment, but I just hope that that comment isn't a window into the way the Packers feel about the division around them. Like, this division is legit. The Vikings are investing and they're well run. I know they're empty, you know, trophy case. Like, yes, they've never won Super Bowls, but that's a legit franchise with an ownership group and an owner that cares and a fan base that cares. And the players like playing there. And the Lions, we'll see how their coordinator, you know, absences, we'll see how that affects them, but that's a legit outfit with a lot of good players. They had a good free agency period too. And I trust their evaluation in the draft. So I just use that Matt LaFleur comment as just a little hook in my brain to think like, man, I hope the Packers realize what they're up against, because if they're just waiting for these other teams that for the better part of 30 years have, even if they pop up for a good year, they fall off. Like, if they're waiting for these other teams to fall off, I think they're going to be waiting a while, because it's been since Aaron Rodgers has been here since they've won the division. And I hope they're just not waiting around for the Vikings to be the Vikings or the Lions to be the Lions, because I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon.
Harry?
That's interesting. That's stuck with you for however long since that press conference.
That's why I prefaced it.
Yes. I think I will give the coaching staff and the front office the benefit of the doubt to understand, like, I mean, they got beat by their division this season. They won one game. So if that doesn't, you know, open your eyes a bit to the fact that this division has changed, then I'm not really sure what will, quite frankly. And even if that's not the case, let's say they're like, you know, we don't believe in the other teams around us, which again, like, I don't know what anyone who's going to make it in the league, no one underestimates the opponents that they have in front of them every week. There's still the rest of the NFC. Right. There's still Washington who's coming up and the Eagles who just won the Super Bowl. And so you have to get better every year to beat opponents that you didn't beat last season, regardless. So I'm going to sincerely hope that that's not their mentality. And I'd be hard pressed to think that is.
Here's what I'll say, because not what Grant's saying specifically here, but something that just beyond pisses me off from time to time is this idea that Green Bay is fine with being a playoff team or fine with just competing and, you know, we'll get back to the playoffs next year. the first thing I'll say is the juxtaposition of like people that are upset of Matt LaFleur's too fiery and he's too emotional. That dude hates to lose. That dude hates when they don't pick up a first down or when a call doesn't go his way. He is wired to win. He is ultra competitive. He has his guys back. Like, he wants to go out there and win every single time. So like, this idea that, and again, like sometimes it maybe comes out in like a very passionate and fiery way, in an emotional way. That's, I will take that, by the way, every single time. Give me the fiery guy that cannot stand to lose and that is pissed and that is literally going to battle with his guys. I want that. I want that dude. Can he clean up a couple things here and there? Sure, absolutely. But I will take that and let's clean up a couple of these decisions in the heat of the moment rather than somebody that's just stoic and what, like, I want that passion and I want that energy. And trust me, again, just knowing Matt as much as I know, he is not wired to lose. It is eating away at him that they went 1-5 in the division, and he will be doing everything that he can to make sure that that does not happen again. This is a guy who's owned the division for the most part in his entire tenure in Green Bay. So, it's not going to sit well with him at all that they went 1-5 in the division. And again, I'm not saying that that's what you're saying, Grant, by any means, but that part. And then the fact that, again, the Goody conversation of like, oh yeah, like, If you haven't seen the difference between Goody and Ted Thompson, and that like every single time, again, this offseason, that Goody's had the opportunity to go out and spend in free agency, he has done so aggressively and has added Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney and now Nate Hobbs and Aaron Banks, Billy Turner, Adrian Amos, Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, Jimmy Graham. Like, we have a pretty large sample size of like, Goody's not sitting on his hands and being like, oh, there's going to be a better free agent available next year. Like, oh, we don't want to do too much. Like, he is going out and trying to upgrade the team. You may disagree with the decisions, which is totally fine. But to say that he just like kind of sits on his hands and is okay, like, he is not. He is also somebody that is ultra competitive and wants to go out and win. And that's why he gave a call to action to the entire franchise in his press conference of like, it is time. The urgency needs to be there. We need to start winning championships. So I think this entire organization is ultra motivated to get back to a Super Bowl. They're doing everything in their power. It may not always seem that way, but they want that more than anything. And I very much know that to be the case.
And I'm with you because I think, because you hear that from fans, well, they're just fine to make it into the playoff. Like, no, I've never thought that. It's going to be a real battle. And it's going to take a lot to win this division. And I don't know that, you know, well, we'll throw a couple draft picks at need. Like, I think edge rusher and wide receiver is a, like, they were weak there down the stretch. And it really hurt them against the most elite teams. And they didn't do anything to address either. And I know, like, all the corner, that'll help the pass. I know. And I still believe in their other young guys. Like, I still like Reed and Wicks. But it would be one thing if you were dealing with a division like the AFC South. This is not the AFC South. So I just wonder, you know, if the Packers plan so far, if this is going to be enough. And I'm skeptical. That's it. That's all. I don't doubt their motivation or their drive to do this thing. I just don't know that they've done enough so far.
That's fair. And we'll get into that, I'm sure. And it's not like Perry had that on her list. I've got that on my list. We'll get to that. I don't know. We could just do it now because that would be a really good transition to do it. But I'm stubborn and I had something in mind already. So I'm going to go with my thing. I'm going to go with the best. And my best is, I love the fact that they did not do the former maybe Packers mentality of maybe holding on to their guys too long. Josh Myers got a nothing deal, an absolutely nothing deal. And this in previous years would have been like, the Packers have been like, oh yeah, well, we'll take him back for, you know, even we'll maybe go a little bit more. We'll do 1 year, $3.5 million. We'll bring Josh Myers back. And Eric Stokes went for absolutely nothing. And I think in times past, Green Bay, like, we spent a first round pick on him. Maybe it's just around the corner that Eric Stokes is going to turn around and let's bring him back on 1 year cheap deal. And let's maybe see if we can get that one more year out of him. And AJ Dillon's a different situation because your running back room is stacked and he went through the injuries and stuff like that. You know, Corey Ballance, some of these are different to some extent, but that they did not just say, yeah, we'll bring everyone back. And it was time. It was very clearly time to move on from Eric Stokes, to move on from AJ Dillon, again, mostly due to the running back room and the injuries, and to move on from Josh Myers. You gave them every opportunity, specifically Myers and Stokes, to go out and succeed. Myers got 4 years of starting. Stokes got handed the starting corner spot again this past year after 2 years complete of injuries, even looking like crap in his sophomore year before the injury. He got handed the starting cornerback spot, could not maintain it, couldn't hold on to it. it was clearly time to go in a different direction. It was clearly time for those players to go and try something new as well. And hopefully they can do better elsewhere or whatever. But I just love that Green Bay was not doing the same thing of like, oh yeah, we spent draft picks on them, so let's bring them back. It was time they did it. And I'm very happy that they decided to go in another direction because they just weren't playing good enough football to be worth retaining, whether it was a vet minimum or a little bit more than that or anything in between. Move on, go in a different direction. I think it was the right thing to do.
And on Josh Myers, by the way, my comp for him in these conversations we had was John Runyon Jr. Like, fine player, don't want to pay you. John Runyon Jr., I think, got 3 years, $30 million. Like, he got a legit hefty deal. Like,
yep.
I don't know. I guess I wasn't shocked that Josh Myers didn't get more, but like that contract said all that you needed to know about, you know, the level of player he is. And the Packers said all along, like, he's playing some of his best football, but it just never really happened for him.
And the only guy they brought back is a guy who had meaningful contributions this past season in Isaiah McDuffie. And that one, I was like, okay, good. I mean,
There's one other that's on my best list, Perry Goldstein.
Brandon McManus.
They also brought back Brandon McManus.
Well, I was thinking more of draft pick.
I understand. Yes, fair.
But yes, Brandon McManus is great to have. That position, you don't have to think about that any longer.
Just really, really quick so we can get this one out of the way. That was also on my best list. And what I'll say is, like, they could have gone out and signed Josh Sweat and traded for DK Metcalf, brought back Devontae Adams, and, you know, kept Jair, and then gone out and got, you know, whatever other amazing free agent on top of it. They still got Aaron Banks. Like, they could have done all of that. And if they didn't bring back if we would have had to go through another, like, undrafted free agent kicker versus Greg Joseph versus Alex Hale, I would have still been like, this is the dumbest offseason ever. So I'm just very happy that they, at least of all the things that they had as holes going in, they're like, we're going to settle that one right now. McManus is back, $5 million per, we're good to go. And we don't have to do this stupid kicking battle again for another offseason. So that is absolutely on my best list. And I'm not overlooking it at all because I love it. And I'm very happy about it.
I had it as well. It's just it's a very, very underrated and overlooked thing to send your kicker out there and just be able to breathe. And I think Matt LaFleur would agree with that.
It's funny you say, what did you say? Under-discussed or like overlooked? It's funny because, you know, Anders Carlson and Narveson is like, okay, now you overlook it. Like, yeah, now it's the position that no one cares and talks about. But it's amazing. As soon as they get a competent kicker, it's just out of mind. Like, I didn't even have it on my list to bring up McManus. So it's funny how that position works, to your point, Perry.
I'm going to do a worst, and it's a little bit around something we've already talked about. So hopefully we can dive into it further. But I don't know if this it's a question. So
Let's do it.
I think it's, and again, I don't know why I put it in the worst, but I think I put it in the worst, like, because I'm still questioning, if that makes sense.
Yep.
Actually, do I want to do this one or do I want to do my other
one? Now you have to.
I have two. They'll be the worst. I'm like, it's too early in the off season maybe to actually, but like, are the Packers better after free agency? Like, that's what I'm asking myself. And Andy, you said it much. I like the way you put it earlier, which is like, do these players that they've added, are they adding like tangible wins to this season? And like, the idea of having an upgraded best five offensive line, especially after what we saw in the Eagles game, when one guy goes out and then all hell breaks loose, essentially, and your whole offensive game plan, I felt like, goes to shit, and your best thing all season in your run game goes just like AWOL because you can't run block. Now I feel like they made a tangible upgrade there. At least you want to hope that that's the case, right? They made a subtraction of Josh Myers, who I believe is just graded negatively, and they made a plus in Aaron Banks, who I believe has a positive grade, or at least would have a positive grade. And you hope that Jordan Morgan is going to get meaningful snaps and be what they hope him to be when they took him in the first round. And I think that they upgraded offensive line. Do I think Hobbs moves the needle for me in any kind of meaningful way on the defense? Not necessarily. I think versatility in the slot with him and Nixon on the boundary is nice. I think that'll be fun for Jeff Hafley, and I'm curious to see what he does with that. But he's not a boundary corner, and I think like real solid boundary corner play without Jair is a big question mark for me still. But otherwise, the things that we talked about at the end of the season, like, there's still questions, right? And so I'll say it kind of leads me into my next one, but I don't love that feeling after free agency, because I don't love relying on the draft to fill those holes. We might not have time to get to my next one, so maybe I'll just
go for it.
I'll lump it all in.
Yep.
Yeah, like I don't like going into the draft with like a need. Like that doesn't feel good when you're like, we need this. You want to go into the draft being like, this is supplemental. Like, sure, maybe your first round pick or your second round pick, they're going to have like meaningful contributions, but you shouldn't be walking in the draft being like, we need capital N an edge rusher, or like, we need capital N an offensive weapon, because the Packers just weren't good enough in those places last season. So yeah, I question whether they're like tangibly better.
Here's what I had, and I think Grant, you're probably thinking a lot of the same things here, but these were all on my list. You didn't add any sort of star player to this team. And that was kind of the one thing of like, you've got a good team, you've got good players. Can you find a way to add another star to this team in some ways? And maybe Hobbs becomes that. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, guards are tough to become stars, but maybe Aaron Banks becomes that. But it doesn't feel like they added any sort of real star player up until this point. Not done yet. And we should preface all of this is that this is the best and worst of the offseason so far. It's not done yet. No star player. No pass rusher, either at defensive end or defensive tackle, which was, I think, pretty much to a T, everyone's kind of 1A, going of like, you really kind of need one more pass rusher. They've done nothing. The only thing on the defensive line that they have done so far is lose TJ Slayton. That's the only thing. No interior defensive lineman, no wide receiver added up until this point. To your point, Perry, I had on my list, you're asking the draft to do some heavy lifting. And again, you don't necessarily want to go into a draft where this isn't also a one where you've got five top 100 picks. You've got pick 23, you've got a second, a third, you've got 5 day 3 selections, but you're not swimming in picks. You don't have a top 12 pick in this draft. Like, this is a pretty standard draft and you're potentially asking it to do a little bit of that heavy lifting. And then to your overall point, your first one out of my list of this team feels like it went from good to really good to good to really good. Like if you asked me where they were at coming off the year, I'd been like, it's like a good team that I think could be really good. And if you ask me right now what I think of the team, like, I think it's a good team that could maybe be really good. Like, I don't think it is my viewpoint of this team on the whole has changed one iota of like, do I think they can win any game that they're in? Absolutely. Do I think that some of their young players could take a step up and that Jordan could play closer to 2023 and that we see a resurgence on offense and that this defense continues to improve under Jeff Hafley? Absolutely. Do I think they can be a competitive team and maybe even make a run if they get hot at the right time? Absolutely. But this is all where I felt like they have been. And you're coming off a year where those were sort of your feelings. And to Grant's point earlier, you went 1-5 in the division. You lost in the first round of the playoffs. You lost every good game or to every good team that you played against last year. So while I still think there are potential answers there, my overarching viewpoint of this team has gone from good to really good to good to really good. And that's where I'm at with it. Grant, I know you've been stewing. We've caged you in and now
we get to be free. And we talked about this. You were nice enough to do my show this week. And I said, look, I'm not anti good old line. I'm not anti adding a piece in the secondary, but it's a salary cap league and you have limited resources allocated to free agency, to trades, to the draft. And I thought that they could have addressed O line and corner with picks. I'm less confident that they can address wide receiver and edge rusher with draft picks. And now they're in a position where they have to. So it's not necessarily that I'm anti player. I'm certainly not against them spending money. That's great. They're trying to win. I could have allocated those resources differently and I'm left at the same place that you are, Andy. So that's all I really have to add to that. I'll give another worst. I can be a little bit of a Debbie Downer. This isn't a huge deal, but something that I think is kind of significant. I think Campanile leaving is probably something that, I'm going to think about until I see how their defense looks and how they're operating with his replacement and in his absence. And this isn't even something that I would bring up if not for the presence of Edgerrin Cooper and how he played as a rookie, because I think right now their best shot at a truly game-breaking player, unless they were to trade for, you know, Hendrickson or somebody on draft night or something, is Edrin Cooper in year two. And I don't know how he's going to look or how he could be impacted by a changing of the coaching and the people around him. So it's probably not something that we're going to talk about for 10 minutes, but it's something that I'm thinking about and I think could impact them, because I think it could impact Edrin Cooper, who's one of their most impactful players right now in my mind.
I had this, and just to add on top of it, I had Tom Clements as well. And just losing Campanelli and Tom Clements as assistant coaches in one offseason is definitely a bummer. I love that they added Sean Mannion. I love that they added DeMarcus Covington. Was one of my best too. I'm excited about DeMarcus Covington. And I love that they added the former Bears offensive coordinator as well. I had it on my list and I just deleted it because I didn't think we were going to get to it. Luke Getsy. So the fact that they had a Getsy, Sean Mannion, DeMarcus Covington, like, I think those are good solid moves, but losing Campanelli and Tom Clements is definitely a bummer for what they brought. I think even just in 1 year for Campanelli and certainly Clements over the years, what they brought to the team, I think that's definitely a loss.
Well, and I'm just less concerned about, I think we've talked about this. I'm just less concerned about Tom Clements because I'm not convinced that Jordan Love couldn't benefit from a new voice, you know, to deal with his mechanics or this or that. I don't know. I just know that whatever was going on with Edrin Cooper and his coaches last year worked, and that was cooking. And, you know, you listen to comments from players and other coaches, like, just nothing but glowing remarks and reviews for Campanelli and the type of guy and the coach that he is. So just something, I'm probably a little bit more concerned with that than Clements, but those are two big losses. And Packers fans, if you're going to say, well, the Lions will come back down to earth because they lost two coordinators and a bunch of coaches. Well, that happened with the Packers too. And now we'll see how somebody like Dan Campbell and somebody like Matt LaFleur, they go about replacing those guys and kind of keeping things in motion. So I'm interested to see how that pans out. But I think right now it has to be viewed as a negative for sure.
All right. In the interest of time, I'm going to run through lightning round, the remaining ones that I have on my list. And then Perry and Grant, I'll let you each kind of weigh in on whatever one strikes your fancy the most. Does that sound good? All right. So here's the best, the remaining on my best list. One that I think can't go unnoticed. It's not anything Green Bay did. Jeff Hafley's still defensive coordinator. They could have theoretically lost him as a head coach somewhere. So just the fact that they get to carry that over into a second season, that is still somewhat of a relief to me, because that would have been a huge pain in the ass if just you finally get this defense that looks legitimate and then he walks as a head coach. Like, that would have been like, oh, that really, really stings. So Jeff Hafley's still defensive coordinator. Say what you want about Nate Hobbs or whatever. Like, the fact that they continue to make tackling and run defense a priority in the secondary is something that is very pleasing to me. After the years of, again, maybe Jair and Stokes and Savage and some of these players not being the best tackling defenders and run defense defenders, going with the Hobbses and the Nixons and the Bullards and the McKinneys and Evan Williams and those sort of players is there's something to that. And I think we saw it last year when it came to run defense, and then just prioritizing offensive line. Perry, you kind of hit on this earlier a little bit, but just the fact that they, whether 4 years, 77 for Banks is too much, or whether they needed an interior offensive lineman, we saw in the playoffs and Super Bowl, et cetera, the trench play is extremely important. Continue to prioritize offensive line. I really like moving Elton to center. Theoretically, it sounds like that's what they're going to do. And just making run blocking a higher priority as well. It seems like pass blocking and pass protection has always been kind of one of their 1A priorities. And just adding a little bit more of a run blocker to that line, I like as well. So those are the remaining ones of my best. The worst is, I don't know how worst I guess this is, but still, and I know both of you kind of hinted at this, but 4 years, 77 still is just a little bit probably rich for Aaron Banks. But again, to Perry, your point earlier, markets have changed, the rates have raised, and that's probably more of me just having to get used to that a little bit more, but just seemed a little bit rich. And then what, speaking of rich, look at this transition. The extension for Rich Bisaccia still is just a little bit, I don't know. This has been a special teams that is still underperformed for 3 years. And I don't even necessarily question that he's probably a very good assistant head coach. It seems like he has Matt LaFleur's ear, and it seems like he is very valid. We even hear Nate Hobbs of how he's talking about how important Rich Bisaccia was. We hear from Nixon. We hear from Jacobs. We hear from all these guys. Like, they are glowing about Rich Bisaccia and what he brings to the table. So I don't even necessarily mean it, but just like, the special teams is still fairly sucky overall. And just, like, to the point where like people were wondering if Bisaccia was going to get fired this offseason. And then I don't know that you needed to fire him. I just don't know that you needed to give him this contract extension either. Like, maybe just let this year play out, see how special teams actually goes, make him earn that next extension and go from there. But that was the only other one I had on my list. So Grant, go ahead. You can be the first to react, and then we'll end with Perry.
Well, just on Bisaccia, like, I think he has the world's best agent. I brought this up on my show at the time because the Bisaccia news cycle was real. It was small, but again, for someone who needs every little bit of content they could get, like, we got a report that, you know, the Cowboys, like, they've liked Rich Bisaccia in the past. And then there was another report. It's like, well, Bisaccia might just retire. Like, how are we getting a Bisaccia news cycle? His special teams weren't even that good. And there's, like, buzz about his options. So maybe that's part and parcel why the Packers had to extend him. I don't know. Maybe there was some pressure there, but I just remember that. And then you said Bisaccia obviously has the ear of Matt LaFleur. And I'm like, well, he does, unless you count when it really mattered against the Bears in week 18, when he needed to just tell him that his kicker could can a 50 yarder or whatever it was. So no, I'm with you on Bisaccia. I think his presence as an associate head coach or assistant head coach is much more important and impactful than his special teams work.
Fair enough. Perry, last thoughts on our best and worst?
Not. I knew Grant was going to comment on Bisaccia. That's like the hill that he will like always die on. No, I mean, I think it's an interesting thought experiment for us to do at this point in the season, considering we're like very half-baked.
Yep.
And I certainly agree, right, with the fact that I don't necessarily love going into the draft with like, you know, like I said before, capital N needs, but like I can, you know, devil's advocate myself and say like, look at all the contributions that some of the rookies have made over the last two or three seasons. So it'll be interesting for, I guess, for this group to go back and do this again. Maybe during training camp or something after a few more of these moves have been made and we have some more information and see if we feel any differently. That's kind of my takeaway after we've been talking for an hour.
Needs, by the way. I just think it's funny, and I'm a hypocrite this way too, how like last year we're like, oh, they took Jordan Morgan. Why didn't they take someone that they actually needed? And then a year later, we're like, God, now we got to draft someone we need. This is the worst. This is not a spot that anyone wants to be in. So it's just kind of funny how we've gone full circle with the draft in 12 months. That's it.
Always.
Can't never do anything right no matter advice. What. Yeah. There's no winning no matter what. Like it's just it's a constant stream of everyone sucks and fire everyone no matter what. So I think this is fun to look at. Like you said, Perry, even at this sort of midway point, and maybe everything changes tomorrow when the Packers trade for Trey Hendrickson and we'll get to react to that, which would be a ton of fun. But I think it's still interesting to look at what the good things that have come out of it, because there's been, I think we so lose track of that. Like there's been a lot of really good things that have come out of this offseason so far. There's still plenty of question marks and how they kind of navigate that for the rest of this offseason, whether that's just improvement from within, whether that's via the draft, some value free agent signings, or maybe one more splash if Goody can pull it off. That's, I think, what's going to be the remaining interesting aspect between now and that first game of the regular season. So as Goody always likes to say, roster building is a 365-day-a-year process. He's got about 170 of those up until the first regular season game-ish. So we'll see if we can get a little bit more done between now and then. Grant, Perry, I cannot thank you enough. I cannot tell you how much I enjoy these conversations whenever we get to have them. Perry, I know you are crushing it on PAX, what she said. What else are you working on right now?
We're back after we took a bit of a month off. So we have our free agency show that dropped. We'll be back weekly until the season starts. So you can just check us out wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube.
Grant, I know you are obviously killing it as well. You can follow him at Wisco Grant, but what else do you want to plug on the way out?
Just the daily radio show. I'll be on tomorrow to talk Packers and anything going on. Probably going to yell about the Badgers in Michigan today because that game was a bummer and I'm interested to pick through that. But then the rest of the week, I got to pack when we're done with this because I'm going to a wedding in Mexico. So, but you can just follow me. That's all irrelevant. You can just follow me on Twitter at Wisco Grant and all of my content is right there and the show on, you know, podcast platforms, that sort of thing.
Well, whether he's tweeting out about the Packers or college basketball or what he's drinking in Mexico, it is worth a follow no matter what. So follow him at Wisco Grant, follow her at Perry_Goldstein. You can find me at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Packaday Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us today. That'll do it. But until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go.